All right, we're here off topic. Randy Zellio with the one and only Jose Padilla. It's our first show in like over a month, month and a half since before training camp started, Jose. And we are here. We are ready to go. Man, it's good to see you. And I rarely ever say that. But it is good to see you.
Jerk.
Jerk is right. It's good to see my friend Jose Padilla. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at AngryJose15. I'm at Randy BSP on both Instagram and Twitter. And Jose, a couple different things we have to go over before we go for the Labor Day weekend with the NFL season right around the corner, with the big NBA trade, and of course the end of the Major League Baseball season on the horizon. There's not a lot going on, but there's some stuff going on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's that lull before we get to the real impact of it all.
Yeah, before the real meat potatoes of the sports season, because this is the best time of year. It's the end of baseball season, the beginning of football season, NBA and NHL going into training camp. You know, there's a lot going on. There's just a lot going on at this point.
Yeah, we got big college football weekend coming up.
College football. Yeah.
Yes, week one. Last week was week zero. Now we're on week one. So,
well, let's get this party started. Let's lead off with the NBA and the big trade that happened yesterday.
What trade happened? I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, that big trade with NBA All-Star Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz getting traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers for a bag of chips and a bottle of Coke. That's pretty much what it was. It was actually three unprotected first-round draft picks. And do you have the list of the players that went there, Jose?
Colin Sexton, who technically wasn't even on their roster, but was still property of the Cavaliers because he hadn't signed anywhere else. Lauri Markkanen, who is the center from Arizona,
yep,
who has been traded a couple of times already. The third name escapes me, but I believe he was a recent draft pick. He was a top 14 pick.
Ochia,
yeah.
Yeah, Ochia, I agree. And then the draft picks were...
It's three unprotected and then two swap picks. I do not know how long into the future this goes, but I think when you add up the Gobert trade with the Donovan Mitchell trade, I believe the Jazz now have 13 first-round picks
You might mistake in the Utah Jazz for the Oklahoma City Thunder because the amount of draft picks that we have going on over there. But, man, it was a big move. And the fact of the matter was it was a big move, and it's a little scary. It really is a little scary that move got made. Now let's look at three different perspectives of it. We'll look at it from the Utah Jazz perspective, the Cleveland Cavalier perspective, and the New York Knicks perspective on how the Knicks figured into this. And man, I feel for Knicks fans because they felt that this was a homegrown guy who wanted to come back to New York, and it just sort of fell apart.
You know, I think here's the thing: Donovan Mitchell never really pushed to go anywhere in particular. I actually think he was very respectful, more respectful than most of these guys are. So I don't think he ever really pushed for a deal to happen. I think he was content staying in Utah, but I'm sure he's happy he's out of Utah, but he's basically now in Utah East. I'm not sure the Cavaliers got that much better. They got better. I just don't know if it's that much better. I don't think they're going to compete for a title anytime soon, and I think that's kind of the same situation he was with Utah. And before Utah started dismantling this whole thing, I don't think they were really any different than Cleveland. So in that perspective, I understand why Cleveland did it, because you are getting better.
In my eyes,
you just want a shot. You just want a shot at it. And Donovan Mitchell gives you that shot. Uh-oh. Well, guys, it looks like we're having a little technical difficulty here. So, while we see if we can get Randy to come back on, I'll keep on going until Randy comes back on. Now, as far as the Utah perspective goes, listen, they're just blowing it up, and that's it. End of story. They're trying to rebuild. I'm not really sure what they're doing, you know, at the present time, long-term goal is to rebuild this whole thing. Ah, and I think Randy just came back.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, so I got your a little cut out bits and pieces there, but look, I understand from a Knicks perspective, the Knicks wanted this guy for their fan base. The Knicks, he was a homegrown guy, and the simple fact of the matter was, though, the price because of the Rudy Gobert trade with Utah and Minnesota, it was too high. The Jazz, I think, realized that the Knicks were sort of going like this. They basically said, we're done. And they went out and looked around for some other suitors. And they basically was like, well, I just don't know if that's going to happen. And so they just decided to go another route. And
let me ask you a question, though, in all seriousness. Do you think Danny Ainge really ever wanted to make a deal with the Knicks? Because
no.
I sort of get the feeling he didn't.
No, you know what I think it is? Is I think he started using the Knicks deal as leverage to other teams. They're saying, well, this is what New York is offering. Well, this is what New York is going to offer. This is where we can get from New York. Why don't you throw in 3 first round draft picks and then we'll 2 more, you know, swap picks, and then we'll see what's going on from there. Look, there's no player in the NBA that is untouchable and that can't be traded. We know that. You know that. I know that. There's always a move to be made if need to be moved. I am wondering in the back of my mind right now if the Knicks were really as in play as it was made to be seen.
I don't think so. I honestly don't even think Danny Ainge ever really I think the Knicks had the assets. I just don't think Danny Ainge wanted to go that route, because I think part of the problem is Danny Ainge doesn't really have a great history with the Knicks, because, you know, they have that whole hatred from the 80s and 90s. So there's that to consider. I also think you got to consider the fact that no one in the league seems to really want to see the Knicks get back to a relevant state. And when I say that, I'm talking about like the players that are now either in the broadcasting or the guys that are actually working for teams. It just seems like, yeah, Randy doesn't want to see the Knicks get back to any kind of relevance.
I think if the Knicks are bad, it's a better story than when they're good.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
I have to play devil's advocate.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, but in all seriousness, like I do believe, though, that Danny Ainge just really was not negotiating in good faith. Maybe Leon Rose caught wind of that, and maybe he was trying to see if, at worst case scenario, he hiked up the price for some other team. Because now here's something I don't know if we discussed. Here's another factor I think that does not get brought up enough. Leon Rose, whatever you want to say about his skills as a general manager, president, whatever, he was an agent. And we all know agents don't like to lose the deal. And I think that is becoming an issue now with Leon Rose running this team, is that he doesn't want to lose the deal. You got a bunch of guys like Danny Ainge and the gentleman from Toronto who don't like to lose the deal. And now it's becoming kind of a hindrance with this Knicks team trying to get a quote-unquote like superstar. So when you have that going on, it was just a combustible, you know, effect that was never going to prosper the Knicks whatsoever. And I'm starting to realize that maybe this was never going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. At one point, I remember you kept on saying to me that it should be done today. It should be done today. And we were just like, all right. I said, I'll believe it when it's done. Like, and you looked at me like, I remember you actually called me a hater at one point. You're like, you're just a hater because you're not getting the deal. And I'm just like, I'm not a hater. I'm just waiting to see what it's.
If it was under normal circumstances, this deal would have gotten done. But I clearly forgot to take into account that everyone hates the Knicks. The people who are running organization hates the Knicks. And it's like, but to be more like sincere about this, there is definitely a Knick tax, and there's also definitely a thing that there is people that just really don't want to see the Knicks prosper, and they don't want to be the team that starts this whole process. I mean, they'll help LeBron James wherever he goes. No one seems to care about LeBron James getting any help. And when it comes to the Knicks, that's when everyone balks.
I think the players like LeBron James and Kevin Durant are starting to become like, you know, the famous line in the Dark Knight. You die a hero or live long enough to become an enemy. I think those two guys are becoming the enemy.
That's what it has become. They've become the enemies now, but it is what it is. Listen, the Knicks have assets. They should have done once. I think if they really realized that this trade was never going to happen, and I know you don't want to stay on this for too much longer, if they should have taken the approach the Nets took when the Carmelo Anthony deal went through. When they saw that the Knicks got Carmelo Anthony, literally like 5 minutes later, it seemed like they had the Deron Williams deal announced.
Yeah, you know what it is? Do you know when I felt that deal was done? I felt the deal was done when they announced a deal or the reported that RJ Barrett was going to do the contract extension on his rookie deal. Yeah. That's when I felt what the Donovan Mitchell, because remember, RJ Barrett was in the proposed trade and they didn't want to do it.
Which shocks me, by the way. That really shocked me.
Yeah, I felt that the deal for Mitchell fell through.
I almost felt like it was basically Leon Rose telling Danny Ainge, like, listen, we're not trading RJ Barrett. This is what we have. Take it or leave it. And Danny Ainge called the bluff. I don't know if Danny Ainge got a better deal, but he got the picks he wanted.
You know, Danny Ainge said to the Utah Jazz fans, Larry Bird and Bill Russell ain't walking through that door, buddy. That's what he said. But look, let's also talk about what the Cavaliers did here. I know this deal puts them out of the play-in tournament. That's what I think it puts them in
the top six spot.
Look at the East. Okay. Boston is, you have to give Boston the credit until someone beats them. They're the defending Eastern Conference champions. So I'm going to put them in the number one spot. I think maybe that's some points they just got hot.
Well, let's talk about spots right now. Let's just talk about.
Okay. So who's there? Who's in that? Boston's there.
Philadelphia.
I don't even put Philadelphia in there.
They're going to be in the top. They're going to be in the top five. Come on. Don't be naive there. It's Philadelphia, Boston, Toronto.
I'm putting Brooklyn in there still.
Well, you got to put Brooklyn in there, so because they have the two guys.
And you still have to put Miami.
Whether it works out or not is irrelevant, but they still have those two guys, so you got to put them in the top five.
And then you still have Miami.
Yeah, Miami. Which I think is Milwaukee. Overrated, but whatever.
What about the Milwaukee Bucks?
Got Milwaukee up there, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in the top eight position. But is that the play-in at that point? Are you in the play-in?
The play-in is the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th spot.
So maybe they're still in the play-in.
And then you still have the Atlanta Hawks who have gotten better. You know what I mean? Like, bringing Devontae Murray in. So you have all these different things going on in the East. So but the thing is, though, Cleveland's right there in the thick of it. Obviously, we'll get, as we got closer to the NBA season, we'll get there. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know what Philadelphia has really done to get better.
They still got Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid masks a lot of problems.
I understand that, but he also causes a lot of problems too. And then you also obviously we spent the first part of the offseason talking about the Nets, so we'll take a break from talking about them.
Yeah.
But since the last time we've been on the air, Kevin Durant recommitted to being with the team. And as long as those two are playing and then the other guys are involved in doing their thing. Look, they're going to be in the conversation. Milwaukee.
They got Giannis. So Giannis, again.
But you and I had this conversation about Middleton and Holiday not really being a real true number two, number three, more of like a three and a four. That's sort of missing.
But Giannis is a one and a two by himself.
Okay. I'll go with that. I'm not going to agree with you, but it's really not the time to start going back and forth.
Tell that to Giannis's face next time you see him.
Yeah, although I'm going to tell Giannis, you know what? You know what Jose said about you?
Yeah,
Jose said about me. Yeah, you know he's going to look at me. You know what he's going to say to me?
Yeah,
he's going to say, "Who's Jose?"
Who's Jose? Exactly.
Exactly.
And who the hell are you asking me this question?
I'm the media, bitch. That's who I am.
I am the moral compass of this show.
Yeah. Oh God, we're in trouble. With that being said. And by the way, you still look at some of those other teams in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be competitive. And what Utah is doing is Utah is sitting there basically telling the rest of the league, we couldn't win with the unit we had, so we're going to rebuild, and we're going to be rebuilt in Danny Ainge's eyes. And that's pretty much.
Do you think they're going to be that bad? Like, do you think they're going to be bad?
You look at what they did and the moves that they made, it's not really – They're not playing for success, if you know what I mean. We're not sitting there saying, all right, what are the top six contenders for the championship? Oh, the Utah Jazz, because they just traded away both of their all-stars. you're not saying that. So I have to be a little bit more realistic on what we're doing here. You know what I mean? Like, what are we, like, what are they trying to accomplish? What they're trying to accomplish right now is this last regime did not work. You had two guys who did not want to be in the same locker room with each other. So let's just move them on. I think Mitchell is going to be very good in Cleveland. I think they has a lot of pieces around him. The key for them will be health. That's going to be the key for everybody in Cleveland this upcoming year. And we'll have John Michael, the voice of the Cavaliers, either with us or over at the Hardwood Huddle. And we'll discuss all this as camp gets closer. Okay, real last thing with the NBA. Schedules came out. Everything's pretty much set up. Camp starts in a couple of weeks. You know, Jose, the other thing we didn't have a chance to talk about is LeBron James's extension. Just wanted to get your take on it. It's a it's ridiculous. $96 million 2-year extension. I don't get it. I don't want to get it.
Because people kowtow to him. And he is dead set on playing with his son. He is dead set on playing with his son. Now, here's the thing. What team is going to actually do this?
The Lakers.
You think?
Yeah.
If yeah, the Knicks are bad, I can see the Knicks doing this just out of spite. Just completely out of spite.
You know what I would love to see? You know what I'd love to see? And in a weird transaction, LeBron James and the Orlando Magic have come to terms on a brand new deal. Oh, man.
Ooh, when is this son eligible? In what, 2025, I guess?
Yeah, 2025. So that's it. Oh, so with that being said, let's move over to the NFL. And Jose, lots of headlines. Trying to figure out where we want to go first with the NFL. Let's start with Tom Brady. Okay. So Tom Brady returned to practice last week. All these different situations going on with him. What was your take of him taking some time off?
In all seriousness, I honestly think he's going through a marital issue right now. And I really think his wife is upset that he came back. I think he only came back out of spite for Adam Schefter for blowing his story.
And I want to go on record and say that might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think Tom Brady is going to play just because he wants to piss off Adam Schefter.
I think he is. I really think he is that bent out of shape about this. He was ready to retire, and I think he came back out of spite, and I think now is causing a marital issue with his wife. I think his wife is really upset with him, but I don't think he cares because I think he just wanted to prove Adam Schefter wrong. I really feel that. I'm not the only one who thinks this. I think a lot of people think this, and we're never going to know. No one's ever going to say it. But I've been reading things, and I've been seeing stuff that is starting more and more to come out, that there was an issue with him and his wife, and I'm starting to think the only reason he came back was just to stick it to Adam Schefter.
You know who has an opinion on this? I'm sending it to you right now on your phone. You should get it in a second.
Uh-oh.
And I'll see if I can get it on the screen for us.
All right. We'll
see if I can get it on the screen, but I'll give my take on it. Look. Tom Brady is Tom Brady, you know.
He didn't look like Tom Brady at that press conference.
Yeah, he looked like a beat up guy. he looked like a beat up guy in that sense. I gotta tell you though, the thing with Brady is doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it does. You don't think that matters, like, when you're going through issues, like a real personal issue like this right now? You don't think it's not going to come into play for him? I think it does matter.
I'm not sure it does.
I don't know. I think it does. I think if he was a younger guy, I would say, you know what, maybe he really doesn't care. He's an older guy. He's 45. You know, I don't think he really wanted to come back. He got the damn head coach fired. I think all this is going on, I think it's taking this mental toll on him. I mean, listen, I'm not one to judge. You look at me right now, I'm a fat piece of crap. But he looked terrible at that press conference. He looked like he lost 20 pounds. And I wonder if maybe this is the year. Like, this is like the breaking point for him.
I don't know. It's It's very, 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 very hard to tell. I'm just trying to get the I'm trying to get this up for you because I know that you'll appreciate. Yeah.
Can you still see my beautiful face?
I can still see your beautiful face.
Let me see. I'm gonna read what you sent me. I had heard that. You know, you can do those things and, you know, you can do those things and still, you know, film the Masked Singer.
Yeah, I guess you can. I don't know, man.
I think it's a bigger issue. I really honestly think, though, it's a personal issue with him and the family. I think it's going to come to a head.
I hope that's not what it is.
I hope not either, but I think that's what's going on. I hope it isn't, but I really do believe that's what's going on here.
All right, yeah, I'm trying to get it on the screen. It's not allowing me, but
yeah.
We'll tell everybody what it was. Apparently, a famous former golfer has able to relate to what Tom Brady was going through, and this is at Shooter McGavin. _ Tom Brady leaving the Bucks camp to film The Masked Singer wouldn't be that surprising to me. I left golf after losing to Gilmore to be weatherman for a year. I get it.
Now, you know what the sad thing about that is? For the longest time, I thought that was a parody account by the actor, and not realizing it was just some stupid ass parody account.
It's hysterically funny that Shooter McGavin was able to relate to Tom Brady. Okay, with that being said, I was really trying to get it on the screen because if you look at the profile picture and everything, you're like, this is Tom. This is McDonald doing it. This is him really doing it, and that would be awesome. So the Tom Brady story is just that. Hey man, listen, I you know me. I've been awfully critical of Aaron Rodgers over the years, and man, what do you think about what he's been doing to his receivers, calling them out in the media? I've always said he's a jerk. You've known me from day one. I've always said that.
You've always been like that. So I give you credit on that. You've always been very hateful of Aaron Rodgers. But this is just Aaron Rodgers, what he does. But I think now he's high on Pietro or something like that. I don't even know anymore. You know, he looks like Nicolas Cage coming from that movie, the car, whatever the hell, you know, Cargo or like Con Air.
Yeah, he definitely looks like Nick Cage right now. Definitely looks like Nick.
And he's still going to throw 35 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and he's going to throw at least one Hail Mary in the end zone to win a game, and we're going to crown him God. That's what's going to happen.
And it's going
to
be against
Detroit.
We're
going to say Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback. Yeah. What a win against Jacksonville, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh. Let me ask you a question.
Aaron Rodgers has done it again.
If you're building a team and you had to take one of these guys, who'd you rather have, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Shooter McGavin.
Why don't we just call Uncle Rico while we're at it?
I'm gonna call Chubbs. I don't know what you're. I'm calling Chubbs right now. Like, he's a better. I think Chubbs will deliver more than the other two combined.
Alligator's damn eye. That's what he can do, yeah. Man. Get that bastard's eye out, man.
Hey, Chubbs. You remember the gator guy who got your hand? I got his head.
that's one of the greatest. Sport movies that's not really a sport movie, and yet it is. It's like up there with Caddyshack, with Bad News Bears.
That is definitely one of the top five best sports comedy movies.
Yes.
You know, that's up there. That's definitely above Waterboy, too.
But Waterboy is funny in its own way. By the way, I gotta tell you, Adam Sandler is really good at making these sports movies, whether they're actually like serious movies or comedies. He's really good at them.
Did you like The Longest Yard with him?
That's the only one I don't care for.
Really? I actually thought it was really good.
It's not terrible. I just don't. It's, to me, like, if you're going to ask me to rank him, that's probably my least favorite of all his sports movies.
Okay. Listen, that's fair, man. Like, that's fair. Okay, so what was the other? He did
the basketball movie recently with.
I didn't even see that.
A lot of people said it was really good. The name escapes me right now, but people said it was really good.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one, but that's
obviously Waterboy.
I love that one. The kids loved it too.
It's a funny movie.
You know, the best part was Dan Patrick doing the Sports Center. apparently other teams are looking to their sidelines to see if they have talent
That's
there.
That's how Michigan got
decimated by injuries, tried their towel boy out there.
You know how many people do this, though? I'm telling you right now. I bet you so many teams now. You got the transfer portal. You got to transfer in the water boy.
You know what, like, one of the best scenes of that movie is that nobody picks up on? Is when Henry Winkler's on the phone with his mom telling her he didn't get the job. He's sitting there, the phone's not even plugged in, and he's wearing high heels.
That is a great scene.
And, like, nobody picked up on it whatsoever.
It is a scene. It's almost like the psyche of a damaged... that is the psyche of a damaged head coach who has nowhere to go.
That's like, to me, that's like the second best scene in an Adam Sandler movie is when he calls Steve Buscemi to apologize. Buscemi hangs up the phone, crosses the name of the list, and puts a lipstick on.
It takes him off the list.
Yeah, it takes him off the list. You can't buy a better scene than that. I love Buscemi.
By the way, on a totally unrelated topic, but yet on the same thing of injuries and all that, did you see that the Ravens mascot is legitimately hurt?
Oh, I saw that video yesterday. I was at football practice and I saw it. I was dying.
He's legitimately hurt.
No, the thing was, Harbaugh sold it so well. He's like, yeah, so we had an injury today. It's a tough injury. We're going to do the best we can to survive without him. But
does that guy get to sue? Because he got hurt in a game where some kid nailed him in the knee.
Can I tell you something? You can't make it up, but it's so awesome.
You're terrible. You're terrible.
So awesome. All right, let's go back to we never really got to comment on the fact that Aaron Rodgers tore his receivers in the media. But again, Bush League move by a big name quarterback.
What else is new?
Yeah, well, he does this every year, so it shouldn't surprise me too much. New York Giants got their roster down to 53. I've been around a little bit this offseason so far to see what's been going on. Shock for me is Darius Slayton still on the roster. Bigger shock to me is that Blake Martinez is not on the roster. A little shocked by this yesterday. All joking aside, Jose, what do you think happened here?
I think it's a system issue. He probably doesn't fit the system. Slayton, I think they're trying to get something from him. They probably can't get anything yet. Maybe they'll wait week one to see if there's any injuries. I think, unfortunately, they're still very high. You know, they're really tied together with all the stuff that Gettleman did prior. And look, we've talked about the possibilities of what this team can do, you know, anywhere between 7 to 10 wins. I think we need to be realistic. I don't think this team is trying to necessarily win this year. I think this team is just trying to evaluate Shane and Dable. They're trying to evaluate what they have with the possibilities of next year being a time to move forward. Look, we've said this many a time. If this team does anything to get into the playoffs, Danny Jones is going to be the quarterback next year. Because I think if you get this team into the playoffs, you probably earn that right. If they don't make the playoffs, listen, whoever they're going to try to get as good a drafting spot as they can to get the guy they want. Now, I don't know if they've targeted that guy yet. I know a couple of quarterbacks that, you know, people are talking about this year right now. So we'll see what happens. I think if you want to have a realistic shot at getting a good quarterback, you got to be in the top four.
I agree with that. And look, and I'll tell you, I've been very critical of Daniel during this offseason so far, from what I've seen and what I haven't seen. I will tell you right now, the Giants, I don't want to say I'm wondering what they're doing, because I think I have a pretty good idea of what they're doing. It's just this fan base has been hurting for a winner since 2000. I don't want to even say 2016, since 2011, since the last Super Bowl. This franchise has been poorly run. And, you know, I'm saying this and I'm going to be around these people for the next 3 months.
But let's be fair, Randy, before you make your point, let's just be fair, though. There's a lot of franchises that would trade the Giant history with their history in a heartbeat right now.
4 Super Bowl championship rings.
Yeah. Okay? I mean, listen, I know it hasn't been great sailings over the, you know, this past 20 years, but you know what? The past 20 years, you still got a couple of championships.
Well, here's a question for you. Would you be rather be building the way that they're trying to build right now? Would you rather do that, or would you rather do what Denver is doing and looking at the now and we'll worry about tomorrow?
I think you want stability. I will take people who know what they're doing and have a plan. And if it takes a couple of years to get long-term success as opposed to getting short-term success and you're not knowing what's going to happen year by year.
No, that's fair. And like, I wasn't saying that question to be a wise ass at all. I'm saying
it's a fair question though. It's a fair question.
Like, are you willing to, you know, pay Peter to, you know, to pay Paul right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pay Peter to rob Paul.
That's what I mean.
I know what you meant.
That's exactly what I said. on the other side of the ball, for the Giants on the offensive side, it was announced that Kenny Golladay had a procedure that we didn't know about. The jokester in me kept on saying maybe he had surgery on his hands and that's why he can't catch.
This might be the worst signing in not only Giant history. It might be the worst signing in NFL history if he does not shape up.
Yeah, it's a bad. It's also a very bad look for Kenny Golladay.
It is.
You know, I think that this Giants team, I just want people to get it out of their heads. This is not going to be a Cincinnati Bengal type situation.
No, and then anyone who thinks that they're nuts. Honestly, I would be happy if this team won between 6 and 7 games, but looked competitive and you actually, you know, thought that they were going in the right direction. Although, to be fair, we also thought the same thing after year one with Judge. So we have to see how year two goes.
Well, if you look at it, we all felt that way because we thought that's what the direction was going. Look, Judge gets a bad rap, okay?
He does. You're right.
He gets a bad rap, and it's not exactly fair that he gets a bad rap. But at the same time, and I can pull the audio. Maybe we'll play the video maybe as like a bonus thing for us. You don't go on an 11-minute tirade insulting other teams in the league and keep your job.
Yeah.
It's not how it works in this game, kids.
You know, what always killed the Giants here, unfortunately, is that the Giants never had the cycle truly done. They always fired the coach, kept the GM. Fired the GM, kept the – they never had the two entwined. And I think now at least you have the two entwined.
Right.
So hopefully everything goes well. Again, we have to see how it goes over the next 2 years. I'm not expecting them to be good. If they win 7 games, but they look good, I'll be happy. I'd rather them win 7 games and look competitive and look like they actually have an idea what they're doing than to rather, like, you know, win 10 games because they're just playing a lousy schedule and they're able to, like, surprise a couple of teams. And then you're, like, stuck at square one. Well, do we keep Daniel Jones? Do we not keep Daniel Jones? Look, we've talked about this before. In my opinion, and I think you kind of feel the same way, short of them making the Super Bowl, Daniel Jones is not coming back. Unless Daniel Jones has an insanely remarkable year and the team is, like, still, like, 10-7, 9-8. Otherwise, I just don't see him coming back. So they're drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. And again, if you're a Giants fan – it's your preference on how you feel. I'm certainly not telling you how to feel in this situation. Do you want him back? And that's a real question. Do you want him back? And, you know,
I don't even know if I want him back if he has a great year, to be honest, dude. I want to just clean slate.
Well, and that's what they did with the front office. And you feel for Shane and Dable because – look at the contracts they had to pick up. They had to pick up Galladay's. You know, they're sitting there stuck with Galladay's contract. Leonard Williams, my Lord. My Lord, Leonard Williams, his contract. You know, you have big deals. And the franchise tag numbers for next year is one that scares me as well.
Listen, let's not worry about that till we get to that point. There's no need to even go in that route. We know right now especially with the quarterback, it's always tricky. So you really hope that this is what I want when push comes to shove as a Giants fan, that when this year ends, you know exactly what you're doing with the quarterback position.
Here's the salary breakdown. The base salary for Leonard Williams this year is 19. Okay. His signing bonus was another 7.5. So you're looking at 26.5 for Leonard Williams this year. Kenny Golladay is making about $20 million this year.
You know what? At least Leonard Williams earns his money.
Adoree Jackson has a nice little contract. He's about $5 million. Andrew Thomas is making $8 million this year. Daniel Jones is making close to $8 million this year, and Saquon Barkley is at 7.2. I'm looking at the cap hits. Yeah.
It's not a listen, this year's not gonna be pretty.
It's not, it's certainly not.
I think this team can be competitive, but at the same time, I don't know if anybody wants them to be competitive. I think I just want a clean sweep. I want everything to start over. You can't start over with a new regime and then keep guys in the past. Look, we're not Daniel Jones is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not, you know, he's not even right now Joe Burrow at this point. You know, so there's no, to me, move on. Bring in the guy you want, whoever it is. I would feel worse as a fan if Daniel Jones is still in the mix to be the quarterback for this team next year, because then we really haven't learned anything. Because then are we just keeping him to keep him, or did he earn it? You just not have a better option, you know?
And I got to tell you, right now, looking at the cap space for next year, right now, if next season started right now, without Daniel and without Saquon, they're right at the threshold already. So, and next year, by the way, Leonard Williams, 26.5.
He may not even be on this team next year.
Most likely not. I think they will. I think they'll restructure it to push a lot of that money towards the end of its
probably. Yeah. But he at least earns his money. You know, he plays hard.
Oh yeah,
so I never knocked on the Williams. He plays hard.
And Dexter Lawrence too. Dexter's going to be getting another 10 next year too.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
Those guys play hard. So I'll never knock them. Listen, I don't knock Daniel Jones. It's not about the money with Daniel Jones. For me, it's just having a clean slate.
I agree with you 110%. Okay, real quick, let's do the baseball. Let's hit the locals, Yankees and Mets right now. Yankees looked like they were finally getting out of it a little bit, but you said it to me a couple weeks ago, and I hate agreeing with you, but I'm going to have to agree with you. Write this date down. Okay, we write it down. Listen. Yankees, if the Yankees are not such a jerk. Yankees, if the Yankees are not playing perfect ball, you know, they don't have everybody there, they ain't winning ball games, and that's just the way it is. No. I think they got out to a head start while other teams were trying to figure it out, and now that the other teams are figuring it out.
This weekend is a big weekend for them. They're playing the Rays in a big series. If the Rays cut down into that lead, watch out. Because right now I think the lead is only 6 games.
And the Rays have had their number, and you know, they always seem to have the Yankees number. Did you notice that? Like, they have always been one of those teams that have always seemed to have the Yankees number.
They do it better than anyone else when it comes to the analytics.
Listen, I have a question. Can the Braves just stop winning, please?
Braves don't worry me because the Mets keep winning. So okay. Don't worry about that.
That's fair. All right. Real quick, let's do some plugs. Jose, where can people find you on social media if they want to hear some more of your opinions?
You can look for me on Twitter on @AngryJose. And that's pretty much it, because I'm not a social butterfly when it comes to the social media stuff. You can always also go into the BSP files. Maybe you can find my stuff over there as well. But I think Randy keeps those hidden for the FBI purposes.
Yeah, you know, technically Jose's not legal in this country. So,
oh God.
So with that,
what is wrong with you, man?
His name's not really Jose. We just put that name up on the screen.
I wish I had to come back for that. I'm just dumb right now. I'm going to hit you later, though.
You're welcome. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Randy BSP. We're going to try and be back next week. School starting. Our schedules are all lightening up a little bit now.
Soccer, so, school, everything.
Everything is keeping us busy.
But we will try to keep a hard schedule, people. We promise. We got to figure this out.
Yeah, and we'll have some guests. Rick Lachlan had just texted me. He says he's going to come on next week, and he's going to plug his book a little bit. We'll talk a little Nets basketball.
Nice.
And we'll also talk a little New York Mets baseball. Maybe a little Jets football. I'm sorry, Jets fans. We left you hanging.
I do like you guys, though, this year. I'm telling you, I actually could see you guys pulling out 9-10 wins.
I actually said 9 wins. Months ago, I said 9 wins for the Jets.
I like Zach. And so do the ladies, apparently.
But until then, Jets fans, Joe Flacco football, baby. Joe Flacco football. All right, guys. Till next time. My name is Randy Zellia from BackSportsPage.com. That's Jose Padilla. And we'll see you next time here on Off Topic.